Today's session is called, Why Am I Stressing? Stress is another phenomenon of our time, and while no one seems to like it, understanding it is crucial and the initial step to managing it. So, congratulations. You've just taken the first step towards stress stopping to be an uncontrollable tornado and becoming just a harmless breeze that blows in every now and then, but you know where to direct it. Let's break it down together. What exactly is stress? Why does it bother us? And what can we do about it? Stress is neither your enemy nor your friend. Think of it as a neutral messenger delivering a message to you. Hey, something's wrong. You need to respond. But the problem comes when the messenger starts delivering too many messages, too often, and you lose control of what to read first. You don't know if the presentation at work, the mess at home, or why someone didn't reply to your email is more important. And that's why today's topic is so important. We'll learn to understand stress, slow its tide, and see the real causes behind it. Stress is actually a kind of eternal companion of man and arises as a response of the body to external or internal factors. Imagine, for example, that you are preparing for an important business meeting. Just the thought of speaking in front of others can activate an ancient mechanism in your body that has been with us since ancient humans. This mechanism has an official name. It's called the fight or flight response. Sounds a little dramatic, doesn't it? But don't worry, I'll try to explain it to you in a clear and stress-free way. After all, we're just discussing stress, not creating it. The moment your brain considers a situation as potentially dangerous or threatening, such as when you're worried that someone will catch you off guard during the presentation or that you won't get all your assignments done on time, it sends an alarm. The brain, specifically a part of the brain called the hypothalamus, will quickly begin communicating with other parts of the body, triggering a series of processes designed to prepare you for fight or flight. No, don't worry. No one is going to lock you in an arena and put you up against an angry lion in a meeting. It's more of a figurative feeling where the body reacts as if it's currently on the line for its life. What happens in the body during stress? Now imagine, your sympathetic nervous system, the part that plays the leading role in stress, sounds the alarm. Your body starts pumping hormones like adrenaline and cortisol, which take your system into fight mode. Your heart rate speeds up, your breathing deepens, and miraculously, more sugar gets into your blood. Why does the body do this? To give you energy to invest in, say, running away from a bear, or making it through that presentation you're so scared of. It's actually fascinating, isn't it? Nature has equipped us with a great survival mechanism. The problem is that our bodies trigger this alarm daily, even when there's no bear around the corner. Now imagine the situation. Stress sets in and your body is ready for heroic action. Only, no fight is coming. You don't need to run or pound your fist on the table. What happens to all that disgustingly motivated adrenaline and cortisol? If the stress builds up and the body doesn't relax, the hormones start to put a long-term strain on your system. With long-term stress, you get things like headaches, stomach aches, high blood pressure, exhaustion, or even sleep issues. Even worse, stress disconnects you from your ability to see situations clearly. You feel like everything around you is bad or unmanageable. And this is where we come in, because we certainly don't want to let it get to this point. Our goal will be to understand what exactly is triggering your stress. What is it that causes your body and mind to sound the alarm? Is it feeling overwhelmed at work? Or maybe it's fear of the future? Or are you just worried about how you're going to handle everything that's coming at you at lightning speed? In the practical part, we will focus on how to identify these moments. Think of our session as a kind of scientific laboratory where we examine stress under a microscope. Let me reassure you in advance. Any stress we discover, we keep in the lab. Your job will be to observe, to look, and to become aware. We will explore your thoughts and feelings to find out what triggers your alarm mechanism. We're going to investigate and try to identify the hidden stressors, those things that may not have told you that they're grinding their nails on your peace of mind. And trust me, you'll often find that stressors aren't as scary as they first appear. you may discover that much of your stress comes from your own standards of perfectionism, or perhaps you ignore your boundaries and say yes too often. But don't worry, those aren't reasons to lose hope. They're the first steps to eliminating those stressors from your life. Together, we will find a solution. We will create a plan to begin to influence our stressful situations. We will learn practical techniques such as mindfulness, breathing exercises, or even visualization. We will look for ways to change our perspective on stressors and find the positives in each situation. Finally, you'll create your own magic spell, a personal strategy to use when stress comes knocking the next time. And you know what? You might end up being a friend with stress, the kind of friend who can put her boundaries on it and say, "Okay, let's work together for a while, but then go about your business." And that's the point, to take the stress out of its dramatic role and make it a helper. Let's dive into practical part. First module is called 5 Times Why. Make sure you have a space where you can calm down for a while. Create a peaceful moment to reflect on your thoughts and emotions. Try to write down the situations you experienced during this time. When did you feel stressed? How did it affect you? What emotions came up? Then go back to your comments and look at what your situations have in common. Are there repeating patterns or situations? For example, if colleagues repeatedly stress you out in meetings, mark this situation as a possible trigger. Use the 5 Times Why technique, where you ask why the trigger reappears until you get to the root of the problem. For example, why do my colleagues stress me out in meetings? Because they don't seem to take my opinions seriously. Why does it bother me so much? Because I want to be respected in my work. Try to focus on specific situations that have affected you during the day or week. Think about when you felt stressed. Was it the morning you realized you couldn't keep pace? Or the last time someone tried to push their point of view at the expense of yours? How did it affect you? Were you able to react to it, or did it paralyze you? What emotions came up in that moment? Was it frustration, anger, a sense of failure? It's not about answering all the questions right now. It's about identifying and understanding the situation as much as possible. Once you've written down what's on your mind, the next stage is identifying the triggers. Review your notes and begin searching for the common element present in all these situations. Are there common patterns? Maybe the timing of the tasks is stressing you out more than the tasks themselves. Or maybe it's a specific situation where colleagues interrupt you in meetings, you lose the thread, and you feel overlooked. What about at home? For example, evening mess and a noisy household can throw you off balance so much that it affects you throughout the day. If you discover your patterns, it's a good idea to mark them. Give these situations specific names, triggers. Think of them as little alarms that go off in your head whenever something hits you. For example, stress in meetings, being ignored by others, not having your boundaries respected, and so on. Marking the problem is the first step to understanding it. We all have different triggers, and it's important to remember that none are right or wrong. They belong to us, and they matter. And here comes the key part, a deeper exploration of these triggers. But to understand why particular situations make us so angry or stressed, we need to go deeper. Try using the simple yet very effective 5 Times Why technique. Ask yourself the question, why? Repeatedly, and answer each answer with why. Again, keep doing this until you get to the core of the problem that controls your triggers along with you. Suppose you're stressed out by colleagues in meetings because you feel like you're being ignored. Why is that? Because you don't think your opinions are important enough for them. And why does that bother you? Because you desire recognition and respect. Why is that? Because you're looking for value in your professional life and a sense of being taken seriously. And why is that important to you? Because it impacts your view of your position in the team and your self-improvement efforts. And voila, we're getting to the heart of it. Perhaps your problem lies not in the behavior of your colleagues themselves, but rather in your need to work more on your own self-confidence. Do not lose hope if the answers do not quickly lead to a clear solution. Simply becoming aware of what's bothering you, where the problem arises from, and how different situations trigger it is a big step forward. Give yourself time to do this. Allow yourself the space to revisit your notes again and again. Let's look at specific step-by-step questions. When was the last time you felt stress? What happened at that moment? What feelings did you experience during that situation? Was it frustration, anxiety, or something else? What specifically upset you most about the situation? What bothered you the most? Did you recognize any thoughts that kept coming up when you were stressed? What do you say to yourself about who you are? What is your usual reaction to stress? How do you manage stress? How does your body feel when you're stressed? Do you feel tension in any parts of your body? What strategies do you use when you are trying to get rid of stress? Have they worked for you? What do you think would help you feel better when you are under pressure? How do you relate to your surroundings during stressful situations? Do you feel alone or do you have people supporting you? How would you like to improve your response to stress next time? What would you like to do differently? Now let's talk about a technique, 5 times why. When we identify the specific cause of your stress, we can use the 5 times why technique. Here's an example that can show you how to do it. Imagine saying, "I feel stressed in work meetings." First, why? Why do you feel stressed at work meetings? Because I'm afraid my views will be ignored. Second, why? Why do you fear your views will be ignored? Because I was once criticized for something I said, and it hurt me a lot. Third, why? Why did the criticism hurt you so hard? Because I spent a lot of time on it and I wanted my opinion to be respected. Fourth, why? Why is it so important to you that your opinion is respected? Because I want to feel that I have value on the team and that my work is meaningful. Fifth, why? Why do you feel the need to be appreciated? Because I'm afraid of rejection and I want others to recognize my efforts and abilities. Here comes second module of practical part. It is called reframing. The reframing technique is one of the most effective tools to use when you are trying to manage stress, negative emotions, or feeling overwhelmed. It is one of those magical methods that teaches you to look at things differently, from a new perspective and with a more open mind. We're not going to lie to ourselves that life is a piece of cake, but what if I told you that you can completely influence and reshape how you view a situation? Yes, you read that right. While we don't have power over everything that happens around us, we do have control over how we react to it, and that's what reframing is all about. If you've ever had someone tell you the good old, "just look at it positively," and you felt like wishing they would disappear, reframing is actually its smarter, more sophisticated brother, the one that explains it to you, so to speak. Hey, that actually makes sense. So what is reframing in practice? It's a method that allows you to reevaluate a situation that is stressing you out or making you feel negative and reframe it into a framework from which you can draw something useful. It's like putting on a new pair of glasses and suddenly seeing light where there was only darkness. Instead of just seeing the problem as an endless mountain you can't climb, you get a chance to see it as a challenge, a learning experience, or maybe an opportunity for change. And don't worry, it's not just some esoteric phrase like something out of a New Age manual. There are people in psychology, coaching, and therapy working on reframing, so there's a bit of science behind it. Let's use a specific example to clarify the concept. Because if we're going to talk about something, let's do it properly, shall we? Imagine the situation. You have an enormous stack of responsibilities awaiting you. Work, school, home, kids, dog, take your pick. Just seeing that list makes you want to hide under a blanket and watch a Netflix series because it feels overwhelming. Now, let me tell you, this situation doesn't have to be a source of your stress, but instead can be an opportunity. Opportunity? You're now asking. Yes, an opportunity. Instead of focusing on how many things you have to do and how much time it will take, you can say to yourself, okay, this is a chance to show what I've got. What if I break down my to-do list and start step by step? Suddenly, an unbeatable mountain becomes a more comfortable hill to climb if you think about strategy. In fact, reframing reminds you that in every difficult situation, there is often something that can serve to strengthen you. For example, do you have an interview for a new job, but you're stressed because you don't think you'll make it? Reframing offers you a different perspective. This interview is an exercise. Even if it doesn't work out, I'll learn how to prepare even better for the next time. Or maybe someone pissed you off, your boss gave you more work, and you feel like you're being unfairly targeted? Try saying to yourself, maybe my boss sees me as someone who can do more than everyone else. This could be an opportunity to build trust at work. Of course, this doesn't sound like an easy path right away, because reframing takes practice and hand on heart. Sometimes you're not in the mood to see a problem as a challenge, but there are specific techniques that will teach you to reframe what's weighing you down. First, try asking yourself the question, how do I look at this situation now? Describe your feelings. You can write it down, say it out loud, or just imagine it. Just make sure you give it color. Do you feel angry? Worry? Helplessness? The great news is that once you understand your emotions, you can begin to change them. The second step is to create a new framework. For example, how can I look at this situation to gain something from it or feel better? It's like building an IKEA cabinet. It has steps, and if you pay attention to the screws, everything will hold together. And the third step? Start practicing it in small steps. Choose something simple to start with, like spilled coffee. Is it the end of the world? Or maybe the chance to get a stylish new cup. Gradually, you can move on to bigger situations. A setback at work, an argument with your partner, or a change of plans. The more often you use reframing, the easier it will become part of your everyday thinking. And believe me, once you've mastered it, you'll be able to find opportunities where others wouldn't see them. So, what do you say? It's like a little psychological magic wand that you always have with you. Step 1. Identify the stressful situation. Start by recognizing a situation that has been stressing you lately. Describe how it happened. What happened? What feelings and emotions came up for you at that moment? How did your body feel? Acknowledge it and describe what you were experiencing. Now let's focus on the thoughts that came to your mind when you faced this situation. What thoughts came to your mind? What were you thinking? Make a list of negative thoughts that come to your mind. Let's rethink this situation. What other angle could you take on this situation? What could you see as an opportunity? What benefit could you gain from this situation? What could you learn? Now that we have a new point of view and positive aspects, try to create a new thinking strategy to help you respond to this situation in the future. What positive affirmations could you use when you face this problem again? What specific action will you take if you find yourself in a similar situation in the future? What actions will you take to apply this new perspective? Great! By correcting your view of the situation, we have created space for constructive thinking. Remember, for every stressful situation, it is possible to find a new point of view. Everything you have discussed today will help you feel stronger, and you will be better equipped for future situations. Whenever you feel stressed, attempt to reframe the situation and observe how it can expand your perspective. The last module of practical part is called visualization. Here and now, let's try something different. You make space in your head for visualization, a mental exercise that may seem like pure magic, but trust me, it has its own meaning. Imagine a positive scenario in such detail that you feel like you've already lived the situation. Close your eyes and create a mental picture. See yourself getting up from your seat at the table, feeling the ground under your feet, calm breathing, and everything within you thriving with peace and stability. You smile, your eyes sparkle. Okay, maybe I'm exaggerating a little, but the important thing is that you look confident. And when you start talking, your vocal cords work together, your voice is clear, pleasant, and your colleagues listen with genuine interest. It's not just about seeing yourself like in a Hollywood blockbuster, but literally feeling the atmosphere. Imagine what it's like to sit amongst colleagues nodding their heads in agreement. Imagine that your arguments make sense, that your words resonate with importance, and your thoughts flow as easily as if you're improvising the stand-up of your life. Maybe visualize someone saying at the end of the meeting, "That was exactly what we needed to hear." And why are you doing all this? Because your mind is a bit of a magician. And no, not the left-handed magician who pulls rabbits out of a hat, but rather a mentalist who can make your body and emotions believe you're the master of the situation. If you replay a scenario like that in your head a few times, your brain starts to believe that you've been in that situation before. When that moment does come, it won't be something new and scary for you. It will be like déjà vu, but the pleasant kind, not the weird kind. Your body and your emotions will be ready because this scene has already been practiced in your head. And now for something more. This technique will not only help you to handle the meeting itself, but it will also make you focus on what can be positive about the situation. Seeing in advance the results you want to achieve can be hugely motivating. Imagine success, peace of mind, and even pleasure in what you are doing. It's simple. Once you look back and see how much stress this has saved you, you'll be glad you started it then. And between you and me, this doesn't just apply to meetings and work situations. You can use this mental trick almost anywhere. Are you feeling a bit nervous about a new date? Imagine what it would be like to meet the other person in a relaxed atmosphere and have a great time. Going to a sports game? Visualize hitting every ball and celebrating the win. Worried about the family party where grandma will push you into an extra dessert again? Try imagining yourself calmly and smilingly saying, "You've had enough." No matter the circumstances, positive visualization aligns your mindset in a way that prevents fear from taking control. It's like painting a steel door with water-resistant paint. Things might come in, but nothing will soak in. Everything will stay on the surface. So give it a try. And if you feel like it's not quite for you, try it anyway, because that's exactly the kind of challenge that's an opportunity to show your brain what you can do. List of questions for creating a visualization. This list of questions will help guide you through the visualization process on any topic, whether it's a work situation, a personal goal, a sports performance, or any other experience. The answers to these questions will guide you to create a clear mental picture so that you are at least mentally prepared for the situation. Here are questions to guide you step by step through whatever topic you need. You can come back to them whenever you want. What specific scenario do you want to visualize? What are your main goals and wishes in this situation? Where is the situation taking place? Who all is involved in this situation? What is the time of day and the atmosphere? How do you feel right before this situation starts? What positive feelings do you want to have during the situation? What words do you say to yourself before you start? How do you see yourself when the situation starts? How do you react to situations around you? What situations will create interaction with others? What are the successes you want to experience at the end of this situation? How did you feel at the end of this situation? What is the significance of the situation to you now? What did you learn after this visualization? How can you repeat this visualization in the future? These questions will give you a structure for creating an effective visualization, whatever the situation. It's important to relax and approach visualization with an open mind, which can help boost your confidence and prepare you for the challenges you'll encounter. Now that you have this list of questions, you can take the time to reflect and create a clear, positive visualization that will help you grow and experience personal well-being. How to deepen your visualization. Play calming or motivational music before or during the visualization. The right music can help create an atmosphere that promotes positive thinking. The use of aromatherapy. The smell of lavender or citrus can help improve your mood, and the nostalgia associated with certain smells can also enhance positive memories. Focus on your breath and take a few minutes of quiet breathing to relax and prepare your mind for visualization. After each visualization, take time to write down how you felt and what came up for you. What thoughts or feelings came up during the visualization? Writing down your experiences and thoughts will help you keep track of your progress. It is up to you how you identify your stressors and how you choose to work with them. And I'm keeping my fingers crossed for you